my peeps. Welcome back to Workday Playdate with Improve It. August is all about networking, but today we are going to take a deeper dive, my peeps. Are we actually settling for less than we deserve in our connections, our careers, and our lives without even realizing it? Today, Stephanie Lefevre is here to spill the truth and show us how to break free and start living wildly aligned, empowered lives. Now, networking can feel exhausting, can feel superficial, or just plain frustrating. But what if the reason isn't just your technique? It's that you're settling and you're not consciously creating the way that we're going to talk about here on the show today. Now, our guest, like I mentioned, Stephanie Lefevre, is a mindset coach, a manifestation expert, and an author of You Are a Badass Mom and the soon-to-be book Soul Assignments. She helps women stop settling for less and start creating lives they're wildly obsessed with. And let me tell you, if anyone knows how to spot those sneaky ways we settle, it is Stephanie. So I want to just give you some data here and let you know a little bit of information about networking, because we're using that as the through line of the show. You're going to see, we're going to weave and dive in this show because my conversation with Stephanie was so epic. I could talk to her forever. I literally felt like I made a soul sister friend. So let me just give you a little snippet about networking. Research shows that 85% of jobs come through networking, but only 30% of people feel confident doing it. So that gap right there is proof that we're settling without even knowing it. We're allowing our lives to drive us, not us consciously creating them. So today, my peeps, I'm calling you out with love. It is time to break free from surface-level networking and connecting and start creating powerful, authentic connections. Let's get into today's episode and play with Stephanie Lefevre. Gosh, Stephanie. Okay, I've already been talking to you before we hit record. I always love when podcasters are like, we were just talking in the green room. We were. And I'm like, listen, there are so many things that we have in common. And I'm so thrilled today to have you on the show to chat. And also, I know you have so much to serve and to give our Improve It peeps. We call our community the peeps. So welcome to Workday Playdate.
Thank you. I can tell just by your really chill, cool intro how much we'll have in common.
I love it. And so I'll just start us off just giving a backstory. You sent your book, and I love when people do this when they come on the show. Some people don't ask to send their book. And when they don't ask, I don't read it. But when they send it, I read it because I know how important, like a book in the mail, I'm an author too. It matters. And I love the title, You Are a Badass Mom. So I'm just going to tell the peeps a quick backstory, what I just told you. You live in Chicago. I lived in Chicago for 15 years. You have a husband named John. I have a husband named John. You have a little girl named Zoe. That's my angel baby. Okay. And up there, her name is Zoe. I have a Jackson. You have a Jack. You yep. love Oprah. I love Oprah. There's more. We're both spiritual humans and I loved the book. So there it is. The end. The show's over. But I love everything. Soul sisters. And I'm like, you're probably like, wow, this girl knows a lot about me. But I really value when people send their art. And this is an awesome book. And I think any parent listening should grab a copy. But before we get into it, I just want to set an intention for us today because I could just babble on. I mean, I could just go on and on. So let's set an intention. What's one word that you want to give or get from today's conversation?
Connection.
Ooh. Okay. Why connection?
You know, I think it's my love language is connection. And it's like really what fuels me. And I think what fuels a lot of us as souls having a human experience is connection. So that's what came to me.
I love it. And the theme of this month's podcast is networking, which fits perfectly as well with that intention. And I could see that about you. So once I knew you were coming on the show, I started following you. You just have a real sense of purpose and a real connection with who you're here to serve. And I love it. So I'm so excited to chat with you, of course. So I also, my team and I, when we get guests like you on the show and just any guests we have, we're really intentional about what we talk about. And I think from your seat, what we found just so incredible was your conversation around women settling for less. So let's just talk about that for a minute. Like, what are the sneaky ways women don't even realize that they're settling? And let's start there. What are some ways that we don't even realize that we're settling?
I think even a deeper word that hits is being overly tolerant. I think our over-tolerance leads to settling. So we become overly tolerant of behavior that doesn't serve us from other people and from ourselves. We become very comfortable. That leads to settling. Complacency leads to settling. And it's not about like, oh, I'm settling. You know, sometimes immediately we go like, oh, I'm settling in my relationship. My husband's not the king that I thought I'd marry. And so I'm settling. There's ways that we settle in our health and fitness, that we're not stepping up and serving ourselves and our health and wellness in this body, this one body that we've been given, that we need to treat wonderfully to have health and longevity. Because if we don't have that, that's always what we're going to be striving for. There's ways that we settle in a relationship by not speaking up for what we need, by not having boundaries, by not saying no, you know, to things that don't serve us, by not cutting out relationships, but by not fueling relationships that don't serve us. You know, we settle by just continuing something that is not serving us in so many ways, continuing the eating and the lack of exercise that's not serving us, continuing the relationships, like the friendships even that don't serve us, continuing the overly drinking every weekend because that's just all I'm used to that doesn't serve us. Not to mention the ways that we settle with like a career that we don't really feel valued in, or settling for an amount of abundance that really isn't financially free. I mean, we settle, right? We become comfortable, overly tolerant and complacent, and we just kind of flatline and settle in our lives. We serve so everyone else, and we just get smaller and smaller and smaller and dim and dim and dim. And that is, I would say, 9 out of 10 women. I mean, I think we all do that as we get older because we think that we're being loving or nurturing or compassionate by putting other people's needs first and by not asking for more. You know, we have so much more mom guilt around doing things for ourselves or asking for what we need, or, you know, pushing people or pushing ourselves out of our comfort zone. We have all this guilt where men have very little. You know, they'd be like, I want more. So I'm going to get more and I'm going to join the country club and I'm going to go on more golf dates and I'm going to, and we're like, oh, God forbid I get a manicure, you know?
Right.
So we settle into our own softness and comfort zone and become, I mean, I am a very, very, very tolerant person, almost overly tolerant. You know, I am very tolerant, and I think most women are. And we become too tolerant. We stop dreaming of the bigger things that we want for our lives and of what is potentially possible for us, the limitless possibility that's out there. So many women that I coach, they're like, oh, but I don't even know what I want. Because they haven't flexed that dream muscle. They haven't had someone like sit them down and shake them and say, what do you want out of your life? Yeah. What do you want in your health and fitness? If the sky's the limit, what do you want? What do you want in your relationship? If anything is possible, what do you want? What do you want in your career? If anything is possible and there's no glass ceilings, what do you want? What do you want in your parenting? What do you want in your friendships? What do you want? What do you want? You have to really like get to the nitty gritty with someone to have them start to open up to it. And then they can dream. But we will. Mm-hmm.
It's well, and exactly what you said is, I think, a lot, and this is just taking this totally on a different tangent, but it makes me just think about our nervous systems as women. And because I feel like there's so much task-oriented, invisible load that we carry to be the Pinterest mom, to have the best birthday parties, to show up for every school event, but also be number one at work, right? Like, we have these crazy self-inflicted ideals of ourselves, which then we're trying to strive for perfection. Our nervous system becomes dysregulated. And we, in that moment, have no clarity. There's just no way to sit down and observe what it is we actually want, because we don't give ourselves the space or the grace to do that because we're so busy achieving, right? And like,
yeah. And it's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy, because the more that we have unrealistic expectations of ourselves, the more that we don't meet that, and then we're underachieving. And then we have higher expectations and we're underachieving and underachieving. And then we're constantly in that state of settling and dysregulation and, you know, disappointment.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, Stephanie. Okay. So I'm just sitting here as we're talking, I'm thinking of several people I know who, I mean, I'm a parent. We have so many parents listening, and I think that adds an extra layer of complexity. And so when we talk about settling, especially when it comes to parenting, what are some ways that we can break ourselves free of this paradigm? How do we move beyond what we're talking about? Because I'm already like, I'm like triggered, like my shoulder hurts. I'm like, while we're talking about it, I'm like, that's me. Because, you know, emotions are stored in the body, and I got some stored and I'm trying to get them out. But what are some ways that you see we can break free from this narrative?
I mean, I think we need to build a more solid foundation for ourselves as parents, as moms. The solid foundation I'm talking about is like, putting my state in the right place every morning. I call it priming myself, so that I am doing the things that fill my cup, because you can't pour from an empty cup. We all know this. I'm doing the things that fill my cup so that I'm in a good state. I'm talking about the foundation of my thoughts, so that my thoughts are in the right place, and they're focused on what I do want, and they're focused on looking for the good, and they're focused on what I'm grateful for, instead of high expectations and setting everyone up to fail and expecting my son to do this and my daughter to do this and my husband to be like this and myself to be like this. Like, setting the focus of our state in a good place, of our thoughts in a good place, and then aligning our actions with who we want to show up as. So when we're not proactive about all that and intentional about all that, and I know it sounds like, oh my God, that's just more on your on a mom's plate, but it's really not. It's the foundation that then you can build on top of. You can't build on top of a weak, shaky foundation. Everything's going to always keep crumbling. And that's what I felt like I was doing years ago when I had my young kids, and it was like, I didn't have a solid foundation for myself. And so everything just kept falling apart. Well, now I have this solid foundation. I have these non-negotiables of things that I do every morning that light me up and lift me up and make me feel great. And so if my son is running late for school or doesn't want to eat that breakfast, or, you know, my daughter's having an explosion in the morning and my thoughts are focused on all of the good in the world and all the things I'm grateful for and who I do know them to be and the ways that I've showed up as a good mom for a long time for them, we're not going to have an explosion and a meltdown and a crappy morning, because I am going to bring the right energy to those challenges that are always going to be coming my way. The challenges are going to happen.
That's
and
it.
not just like morning challenges of like your son's late to school and your daughter has an explosion. I mean, like really hard stuff. Like my daughter's volleyball coach just died, you know, out of nowhere. And it was really tragic. And so whoosh, now we're in this. Like, how do we meet this? Not just how do we meet the morning hustle? How do we meet like loss and, you know, drama and like middle school drama, my daughter and like my son going through this identity crisis with basketball and like not being able to find his place in sports? And there's a lot, right? Our heart breaks every day as moms with what we see our kids and the world going through. And so we need to build a more solid foundation. That's our way out or through, right? That's our way to be proactive and to be start showing up in the world as our best self.
I love it. Okay. So many thoughts. Like, we could totally shift the narrative of this podcast and just talk morning routines, which I want to just side bend and do a little sidestep. I'm a big fan. I read your book, obviously, and I know some of the things you do. I want you to tell our audience some of the things. I just finished the book, The 5 a.m. Club. Have you read that by Robin Sharma?
Yeah,
oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's
so amazing. Literally, I'm on day. So this podcast is coming out a little bit later than when I'm saying this, but right now I'm on day 8 of 66, weekdays. Mm-hmm. Weekdays, 5:30 a.m. 5:30 a.m. Yeah. I'm not a 5 a.m. So
I'm not a big fan of the, like, I think whatever works for you, right?
Yes.
So I don't preach like a lot of the gurus do that you have to do a certain morning routine, because here's my whole take. I'm a manifestation teacher at my core. And so what matters is that you feel good. So Robin Sharma and, you know, the other, you know, that's the 5 a.m. club. And there's all these other ones where it's like, get up and do 20 minutes of this and 20 minutes of this and 20 minutes of this, and get up at 5 a.m. or 4 a.m. or 6 a.m. or whatever. And, you know, do exercise first because of this, and fast, and do, you know, bulletproof coffee. It all works for some and doesn't work for others.
That's right.
Where I come from at my core is it has to feel good. And so for you, I'm sure that you're getting benefits out of waking up at 5:30 a.m. And so you're like, ooh, this feels good. So that's why it's such a winning formula for you, or recipe.
Yeah.
So I don't teach like a recipe to my clients. I teach that they need to find their five to thrive. Like, what five things, if you do every morning, help you to thrive? For me, getting up and having lemon water, it's doing my Soul Happy Daily Planner, which I designed myself because I couldn't find a daily planner that anyone else had that had all the magic that I wanted. And I don't sell it, so I'm not trying to sell it here. I sell it only when women are in my course. So doing my Soul Happy Daily Planner, doing a Soul Happy Meditation, which I can tell you what it is. It's very short and easy. Moving my body, doing something hard every morning, and listening to cheesy affirmation music. Those are my five to thrive.
Love
but that,
that
won't work for everyone. Someone else, they might be like, that doesn't work. I can't do that. That's silly. I don't get the feeling that she does out of that. So I teach people that you can find your own five to thrive. What five things do you need every morning that make you feel awesome and invincible? Because you have to feel good doing it. The something hard that I do every day, most likely people won't like it. I love it. I either do a really hard workout, or I do a cold plunge, or I go out in a daily dose nature walk, but I do something really hard because it helps me feel invincible. Like, after I get done with my workout or my cold plunge, I'm sorry, there's nothing you can tell me I can't do. I can do anything after that.
You sure can. Yes, you can.
I mean, there's nothing. It builds that belief. It builds that confidence. And so what is your something hard is what I would tell my clients. What is your five to thrive? Because other people need like a softer morning. Like, they need to be creative. They need to journal. They need to listen to the bird song. They need to get out in nature. They need to do breath work. They need to be in sunlight, you know, whatever it is, like whatever is that thing in the morning that helps you feel like you have primed yourself into the right state.
Yes.
Because your state and your story and your strategy create your reality. So I have this new reality formula. It's S plus S plus S equals R. Your state and how you feel, plus your story and what you think about, plus the action steps that you take, create your reality. So if you want to change your reality, you can't just change the things that you do, because you will come right back to the reality that you were at before if your state and your story are not aligned, right? So
definitely,
when we put our state first and we feel good, that's the key. Our story, our thoughts aligned with what we want, that's next. And then the strategy, then they work. Then the strategy works.
But it's
reversed
so much.
You know? Yeah.
It reminds me of the song. It's a country song. The house won't fall if the bones are good. You're building the bones.
That's a good one.
You know?
Yes,
you know?
The foundation.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. And it's so funny because reading your book, I also this is something that I'm big on, is thoughts plus words equals actions. And I mean, I have to tell you the reason, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And sometimes you have to teach what you need to know. And yeah. I've been really working with that a long time. And we talk about thoughts and how we show up and how your thoughts affect everything in your life. But I love the state. Say it one more time. The state, S plus S plus S equals R.
Yeah, your state plus your story plus your strategy equals your reality. So your state is how you feel and how you prime yourself. And your story is all the thoughts that you think. And always, we create from our dominant thought. So if I'm always thinking about what a bad mom I am, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. And all I'm going to see is my kids misbehaving and them melting down and them struggling and suffering and how bad I am. You know, I had that going on a long time ago. And I changed that because once I became conscious of it, once I had awareness around it, I was like, well, now it's mine. I can change this now that I know about it. So I am a good mom. I'm a great mom. I'm the mom that my kids chose. I am the best mom that I can be. I show up as my best self every day, and that is enough. That's my new story. It. And that's what I'm always looking for. That's what I see. I so our state story plus our strategy, which is our action, equals our reality.
State plus story plus strategy equals our reaction, which is our reality. Okay. Sorry. Sorry. I kind of cut you off, but you just made me really excited because I love that you said, I am the mom that my kids chose. And I want to elaborate on that because I believe that too. What do you mean when you say we are the moms that our kids chose?
Oh my God. It's my favorite thing in the world to talk about. My new book is called Soul Assignments.
And Soul Assignments
for me is the assignments or the experiences that our soul chose to have in this lifetime. Like, I believe that we as souls and soul clusters all decide on, you know, what to experience in this life. And I decided with my mom and dad, would you be my parents? You know, can we go down and do this thing called life? And they were like, sure, but we're going to do this and we're going to look like this. And I was like, perfect. That's exactly right for the progression of my soul. That's what I needed. And I didn't come down to an easy childhood. My dad was an alcoholic, a violent alcoholic. My sister died when I was 11. And I believe I signed up for that. I believe that she chose only to be here for 18 years. And we all chose to learn about loss at a young age and to experience the trauma that comes with all that. In my case, so that I might teach other people how to deal with loss and trauma and a hard childhood and how to climb my way back up from it. Because I came here for the journey, not just to be in the destination at the end. And so I know that Jack and Zoe chose me. I didn't know if I was ever going to have kids, get married and have kids. And then I started hearing the call and I knew that there were two souls waiting for me. I mean, I don't know how, except that I'm just a connected person, you know, to my own guidance, to source, to God, whatever we want to call it. And my kids, I got pregnant effortlessly and easily. I knew that my son came early. I knew that he would. I feel like they chose their names. Like it was like suddenly Jack was the only thing I could hear or see. And I kept going, okay, I get it. I get it. Yeah, and Zoe, it's like not a popular name. And it was like Zoe, like
what's her middle name? Yeah. What's her middle name?
Her middle name's Ray.
Zoe Ray. I love it. And take peeps, y'all take what you will, but I believe this and I am 1,100% in alignment with that. I think there's just so many things. We have to have you back when Soul Assignment comes out. I need to read that immediately. So excited for you and for that journey. And I know so many people are going to be excited to hear it too.
What's so amazing about this work, about Soul Assignment work, is that for me, it is incredibly empowering. If you decide that, I wasn't a victim to this hard childhood. I chose it. I chose my parents for the progression of my soul. Now what? Now the power lies back in me of like, What can I do with that? I can now decide how I want to create my life going forward because I am that powerful. And so I don't think it's just important to know that like we have soul assignments. It's important to radically accept them. All of the soul assignments, the hard ones and the rough ones and the easy ones and the joyful ones, all of the soul assignments, accept them, harness their power so that we can start consciously creating. You know, I feel so much more empowered to know that I chose a lot of these big experiences in my life and that I chose my kids and they chose me. And I, when I accept that, I'm softening into my soul experience in so much more power.
It's so beautiful. And I'm so glad that you're teaching this work. I think more people, if more people leaned in, there would be a lot more healing, a lot more.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Joy, a more conscious creation. And I, you know, I'm with you. I feel like we're on Earth school. We're just here learning what we came to learn. We have an assignment and we have to figure it out. And I am conscious of that, Stephanie. I'm going to call you Steph. I'm conscious of that because I'm like, oh, she's learning today. And I've learned today several times. Resilience is one. And I got to tell you, I know that's one of my assignments. And then my son, just fun fact for everybody, but this is just a riff. He was definitely born through a lot of science and a lot of prayer and a lot of, and I also knew there was going to be something special about the child that we would have. And anyway, my husband and I had a shared genetic disorder. And so anyway, he literally is this walking, talking miracle because he was born with a variable of the gene and a mutation of the other. And he was hearing loss and deafness, and he can talk and walk and is very, 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 very verbal, sometimes to a fault. But he won student of the month for his class. And do you know what the word was that he won?
What?
Resilience.
Oh my gosh.
Like I get tears in my eyes. Cause I was like, that is who you are to like the core of who you are. So, and I know it's my lesson and I'm still learning it and I teach it. And so again, here we are teaching what we need to know, you know? Mm-hmm. Hey, my peeps. Ugh, I hate breaking up this conversation with Stephanie. It is amazing. But I have to tell you something. I want to tell you how you can take your networking skills to the next level with Improvit's very own networking workshop. Now, if you don't know what Improvit is, it is the company that I founded. It is a talent development company that uses improv comedy for the new generation of work. So in this workshop, all about networking, so in just 2 hours in person and up to 100 people or up to 50 people on Zoom in 90 minutes, you will learn how to be fully present in the moment so there's no room for self-consciousness or shaky nerves. You'll practice how to offer genuine support, find common ground with both internal and external customers, and discover that the best way to connect is to listen deeply and build on the other person's ideas. Each activity is packed by improvisational science and is followed by a quick debrief to help you take the lesson into your real world conversations. Our simple formula is being present plus offering support equals engaging conversations. You can reach out to us at learntoimproveit.com. That's learntoimproveit.com or click the link in the show notes to learn more. Now back to our show. I just think the work you're doing is so beautiful. You're talking about living consciously, and you mentioned that just before I went on my little tangent, but I want to lean into that a little bit because if somebody listening today is like, what are these women talking about? You're talking about conscious creation, and I truly believe that when we align ourselves with your formula, the S plus S plus S equals R, that things will just become so much easier. We'll start to attract. We'll start to be conscious about what we're creating because it's started here in our minds. People can't see me pointing. So can you talk about what you mean when you say conscious creation versus just chasing and forcing?
Yeah. I mean, I think we are creators. We are always creating, but we're creating most often by default. We're creating through our prayers or worries we're creating from our dominant thoughts and our dominant feelings by default. And often they are filled with, you know, struggle and frustration and anxiousness and, again, worry and lack, instead of being conscious about it all and proactive about it all and looking for the good and leaning into gratitude and leaning into our power and deciding on what we want to think about and what we want to give our energy, attention, and focus to. Because what we give our energy, attention, and focus on, we create more of. And so we can do that either unconsciously or consciously. So conscious creation is just being conscious about the thoughts, the words, the feelings, the focus that we give, and being conscious about it and giving it to good things, to things that we want to see more of. And that doesn't mean we just like stuff everything else under the rug. We can still have struggles. We can still have problems, but we can keep them brief and we can be solution focused instead of problem focused. We can still have sad feelings, but we can also climb back up the emotional scale and get happy again consciously, you know, with effort. It's not easy.
No.
But we can do it.
And you know, I'm going to say this because this is my personality unless I'm asleep, right? This is just generally how I am. And a lot of people, I think, mistake positivity and intentional joy with toxic positivity, which is like this big buzzword in our, you know, society today. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And for me, when I hear that, I almost laugh. And I do think it does exist. Some people are just saying it, not feeling it. But when you act a certain way and you really feel that way, then that's an intentional choice. What are your thoughts on that? When you hear people say,
I've been labeled as toxic positivity all the time. You know, some of my reels, people will comment and be like, that sounds like toxic positivity. Well, they're usually very negative people who are looking for a problem and who are trying to shame you for being happy. And I mean, I don't let it bother me. I don't think there's such thing as toxic positivity. I understand the power and the science behind positivity, behind reaching for a better feeling thought, you can call it, behind, you know, happiness, behind joy. Like, call it what you need to. If positivity or happiness like triggers you, call it peace, you know, but like finding inner peace, call it whatever you want to, but search for it, reach for it, try and create more of it, because then you'll be creating more and more and more and more of it. So I don't believe in not, you know, of course I believe in feeling all of our feelings. You know, when my daughter's coach died, you know, we felt all our feelings and I kept saying, it's really hard. And this is so sad. And that's it. I wasn't trying to fix it. I wasn't trying to like go, but now let's get happy. No, I was going, lean into this, feel it. What do you need? Do you want to honor him? Do you want to talk about him? Do you want to cry? Like, feel all your feelings. And the sun will still rise tomorrow. And we're still going to get up and we're still going to play volleyball. And you're going to have bubbles of joy, even in your sadness, and that's okay. And we're going to, and it's less than a month later, and she's having these incredible happy days because life goes on. We do get to do those things. And as adults, we like squelch it all. And we think we can't have happy days because the government, because of our community, and because of the school system, and because of our husband, or because we have all these excuses. But what if we attacked it like a full-time job and said, how can I make today the most positive, uplifting, happiest day that I've had in a long time? I promise you, you'd feel amazing and you would create more days like that. And if you only had a few more years to live, God forbid, wouldn't you want them to be like that? Like lived as happily and joyfully and positive as you possibly can? Like, let me shape this day into the best day I possibly can under my current circumstances. And I would lay my head down at night feeling really good about it.
Yeah.
And I have a practice that I do every night looking for the soul happy moments of the day. What were the soul happy moments? Like, oh, my hard workout is always a good soul happy moment. Oh, I picked up my daughter from school and we had a car chat that was soul happy. I played some cards with my husband that was on the back porch in a beautiful weather that was soul happy. I got to go to the golf range and hit some balls. That was so happy. I got to talk to a friend and give her a little mini coaching session. And I feel so honored that I get to do that. Like, this is just your average day. There are so many soul happy moments in the day. Call them just joyful moments, good moments, grateful moments, whatever you want to. And when we look at those every night, the next day we're asking for more of those. And we're looking for them all day because we're planning on thinking about them or writing them down every night. Like, that is a really powerful practice to get us focused on positivity and on the joy. And I am just now, I am unapologetically positive. I'm not going to apologize for it. Like, I'm a blissfully happy, positive person. No apologies, because this is how I want to live my life. It's important to me. And I live my life for me and not for anyone else anymore. So.
So glad you addressed that, Steph. I've got to tell you, okay, pointed question, because I was on I was a guest on a show recently, and I know this person. I've talked to her several times, and she was like, you know, do people ever ask you, like, is this real? Like, and I got into it, and she's like, yeah, people might find you annoying. And I was like, okay, hold on. And they do. And you know what? And here, I just value what you said in that, especially the unapologetic piece.
I am annoyingly positive. I know that people don't get it. And you know what? Also, I like to remind people, it took a lot of work for me to be this annoyingly positive. It took a lot of work. Yes. I have done decades and decades of work to rewire myself for this level of positivity. And that's why I'm not going to apologize for it, because it takes work. I'm not saying I was just born with this silver spoon of positivity in my mouth and I was just gifted it. And because other people have commented on my things and say, oh, sure, your husband has money, that's why you're so positive. Really, I met my husband when he had a broken arm, a broken leg, and had no job. That's not why I am so positive. We have created our lives together since we were 21 and 25. And so we had nothing. This is what we manifested and created this together as a team. And that doesn't matter. Someone can have a husband who has money and still be positive, and they shouldn't be shamed or blamed for that. It takes a lot of work.
And they can have a husband, with money and not be happy.
Right. And most often you have a husband with money and you're not happy still, because we're wired for negativity, and it takes a lot of work to rewire for positivity. And so I applaud people who are positive and who have found their lane in that. And I love following people like that. I love being friends with people like that, because I know the work that went into it and the work that goes into maintaining it. And it's something that I strive for and admire.
Oh my God. Well, and when I read your book, I was like, I do think we're soul sisters. I'm just going to tell you that. You might be somewhere in my star group. Okay. Yes. Truly. And it's just, to me, is so wonderful and affirming, because I think that a lot of people would rather numb themselves than go through the work that it takes to be this intentional. And I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about you. And I've been in there too, man. I go to therapy twice a month, you know, still proactive.
Yep.
You know, and I really value this conversation, because I do think that when you are sunshine, people want to be in sunshine, man.
Yes. Like, yep.
And people love the rays, and sometimes you got to protect the rays, and you know, you might give people some sunburn, but you also might get burned. So you got to step back. I'm going really hard with this metaphor, but like, it's really cool to have this conversation. And I'm not even sure I stayed on our topic. I just feel like I could talk to you about so many things. I know we're talking about networking. We're talking about connection. We're talking mostly about connection to ourselves. And so I want to just, if you could
talk to me. Can I give you my best tips on networking though?
Yes. Let's hear those. Yes.
Well, yeah. And I know this is like a weird transition, but connection is like I said, it is my like love language, like deep connection, connecting to people, having soul connections in this life. And so when I first started on my personal growth journey, kind of in college, when I decided not to be like my dad and just throw my life away and be an alcoholic and just you know, not care about people or life experiences, I decided to go on a journey of like, what does happiness look like? What does forgiveness look like? What does like conscious creation look like? And I started in, you know, watching Oprah and reading Marianne Williamson and Deepak Chopra and Pema Chodron and Neil Donald Walsh and all these amazing teachers that came into my life. Thank God they saved my life, really. And I started going on this personal growth journey, and it led me to starting to go to conferences and retreats, and they changed my life. But something I noticed right away that I did differently than most people when I went to conferences and retreats, because these are all networking opportunities. I went to these conferences and thought, how can I serve? Not what can I get, how can I serve? Show me all the ways that I can serve in this amazing space of incredible people and teachers and whatever. And what would unfold was always really miraculous. Like, I'd be in the hallway and meet Marianne Williamson. And
Stop. Stephanie, I read that in the book and lost my mind, because A Return to Love is what gave me like this whole self-healing, like that's Marianne Williamson's book. Mm-hmm. That experience right there, which everybody has to read your book, You're a Badass Mom. I'm like, she manifested the crap out of that through service. Sorry.
Yeah. Through how can I serve? Yes. That's such the key. Like people, and I would go to different conferences and retreats like year after year, and people would say, how do you do it? What do you, and I'd say, here's what you do. You go in from a place of service, not what can I get, but what can I give? And I don't know where that first came to me or why. That was always the nature of how I experienced any formal workshops or conferences or networking events. How can I serve? Never what can I get? And so I would be there, and sometimes I would be the connector from this person I would introduce to that person. And then that would like help their business take off and whatever. And, you know, that person I did, or I just met Marianne Williamson, and then someone else is like looking for her, and this person needed to connect with her. And I'm like, I could actually walk up and introduce you. Yes, she knows my name, and I can, you know, like there was just so many miraculous things. Everything happens in the hallways, never in the conference rooms. And networking happens when you are very real, when you are vulnerable, when you're coming from your heart, and when you're looking at how you can serve that person, never what you can get. Never have I been networking and someone has tried to network with me and they're like, can you do this for me? That never, it's like, can I do this for you? How can I serve you? It's such a different approach, and it really changes the result and the outcome.
I love that, Stephanie, so hard. And it's such a good reminder for everybody listening. It ties into connection. It ties into this idea of conscious creation and breaking free from this paradigm that, you know, we can't have, and I don't really believe you can have it all, but I believe that you can be consciously creating it all the time. Yes. And I love that, because you can tell that you come from a place of service, and people can feel that a mile away. They can feel the difference between service and sales. The people buy from people they trust. They work with people they trust. They want to be coached by people that they trust. And I think that reminder for anyone listening, no matter what role you're in, no matter what role you're seeking, just coming with that service attitude is going to change the game.
Yeah, that's what changes the game of networking. 100%.
You like, I could talk to you for literally 2 hours, but I already took up so much of your time today, and I'm so grateful you gave it to us. Like, so many nuggets. I always ask every guest this before we go. How are you going to make work more playful today? I'm very curious about your answer.
Oh, make work more playful today. I'm going to go out and play pickleball soon and go for a daily dose bike ride in the woods, and but making work more playful. I mean, that's, for me, that is the art of allowing in our dreams, is being in joy and happiness. So whenever I need to work or get anything done, I play. I find joy in it. You know, I have a walking desk pad, and you know, take all my calls outside. Usually I find so many ways to do that, because it's the art of allowing, really. Our happiness is the art of allowing. Yeah.
I know it's just nice enough here in Charleston where like the pollen is gone mm-hmm. and I can sit on my back porch and just sitting with my laptop on the back porch just like changes the game, right?
So
like,
joyful.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So everybody's going to want to find you. Where can they find you, Stephanie? Tell them all the places.
Yeah, they can find me Coach with Steph. Steph is with two Fs on Instagram or on my website, coachwithsteph.com. And I love connecting. This is my favorite thing is connecting with, you know, other women. I call the women in my group my soulsters. They're like soul sisters, but better. So I consider you a soulster now, Erin. You're so good at this. I'm so happy I met you. And I hope we stay in touch in many ways, not just through this channel.
Me too. I literally, like when you brought up, we have so much still to discuss about this book, you and me offline. Sorry, peeps. It's just me and Steph now. But thank you so much for being here. It was joyful. So joyful.
Yes, for me too. Thanks for having me.
Here is your homework, my peeps. I could talk to Steph forever. So the next time you're networking online or in person, I don't want you to focus on selling yourself or making perfect small talk. Instead, I want you to be fully present and listen deeply. I loved Stephanie's twist at the end that service is the way to creating genuine connection. So I want you to do that. The next time you have a networking opportunity this week, that's homework number one. Homework number two is I want you to take some time to reflect on where in life you might be settling. And imagine what would happen if you stopped settling and started living wildly obsessed with your own story, consciously creating a life beyond your dreams. Today's episode inspired me in so many levels. I love Stephanie's work. I hope you check out her book and check out her work. She is fantastic. And if you're looking for a coach, I mean, I would give her 5 stars. Okay, 10 stars if I could. So that's all I'm going to give you for today. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. And know, I want you to keep leading, keep failing, keep improving, and remember that every workday is a play date waiting to happen. I'll see you next time.